Would you turn back to Matthew chapter 11? Do you ever doubt? I'm not saying it's a good thing, it's not. But do you ever doubt? Do you ever think, why is it that there's so few people that believe as we do? Are we being too narrow? Is the Bible really God's word? Do I really know God? Is there really a God? Am I deceived? I'm not asking you to give an audible answer, but deep down, you know the answer to this question. Yes, you do doubt. I dare say if you've never doubted, you've never believed. Charles Spurgeon tells of a man who said to him, "I never doubt." Spurgeon's reply was, "I never had a doubt about you. I always knew you were a confounded hypocrite." Now we have in our text the Lord's word to a doubting disciple, John the Baptist. Verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, I suppose people told him about what was going on. He'd been in prison at this time for about a year. Now this is this man who was raised in the deserts. He was raised in the wilderness. He slept in the open air. A free spirit, John the Baptist. Now he's in prison. Shut up. In a dark, dirty dungeon. And I can imagine how depressing this environment must have been. And he told his disciples to go to Christ and say unto them, "Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" Now, before we consider John's question, let me remind you. Hold your finger there. You're in Matthew anyway. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. I've already quoted this. Verse 17. And when they saw him, the resurrected Christ, looking at him with their own eyes, when they saw him, they worshiped. But some doubted. My interlinear Greek Testament reads it this way. When they saw him, they worshiped. But they doubted. Looking at the Christ. Looking at him. They doubted. Why does God the Holy Spirit have that recorded? That's probably something I wouldn't have recorded. But God the Holy Spirit had this recorded. Looking at the resurrected Christ, they worshiped, but some doubted. When the father of the demon-possessed boy, who was hurting himself all the time, oh, how grieved he was. And the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. And he says to the Lord, "If you can do anything, help us." He said, "If thou canst believe." He put it back on this one. All things are possible to him that believeth. And he cried with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." I believe. I do. Help thou mine unbelief. Can faith and unbelief exist at the same time? Yep. Yep. They certainly did with this man. And they do with this man. And they do with these men and women. If you're a believer, you have a new nature that always believes, and you have an old nature that never believes. And this is your continual cry, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Verse 2 of our text, now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, John was in prison, the same John that was foretold in the Old Testament scripture. Nobody else was, as far as men go, only him. He's spoken of in both Isaiah and Malachi. The same John who leaped in his mother's womb when he heard about the Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb, the scripture says. The same John who witnessed the Holy Spirit descend like a dove upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw this. This was his experience. He's the one who baptized Christ. You remember when Christ came to be baptized, he said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? Lord said, suffer it to be so now. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. The same John who said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And now he's asking this question. Look what the Lord said about this man in Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? You know, they didn't go to the synagogues, they went to the wilderness. John didn't identify with man's religion. They went to the wilderness to see him. They wanted to hear him. They said, what did you go out to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Somebody controlled by public opinion that can go one way or the other? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? A rich preacher? Oh, behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, here's the Lord's assessment of John the Baptist. Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, who became least in the kingdom of heaven? The Lord said from the cross, I'm a worm and no man. I'm not even fit to be called a man. That's what he said with regard to, he became least in the kingdom of heaven when he was made sin. But oh, he's infinitely greater than John the Baptist. The Lord lets us know that. He's the greatest among those born of women, but he's not like me. There's nobody like the Lord Jesus, is there? Now, I don't know how long John had been in prison. Most people think it was at least a year, but you know that this man was a free spirit. He slept under the stars, lived in the wilderness even as a boy. From a youth, he was in the desert places, the scripture says. Maybe he'd never even been in a home before, at least in his from his early youth on up, living in the desert. What must it have been for this man to be confined in a prison? And I don't know what kind of horrible place it was, but it must have been horrible. And he was used to preaching and people responding to his preaching, and what a man greatly used of God. Now all of a sudden, he shut up. He is in a place, as far as his experience goes, where he's just been put aside. nothing exciting going on that he could see. He was in prison, and soon he would be beheaded. This is what's going to happen very soon. They're going to carry his head on a plate to Herod's wife. This is what he gets for being a faithful servant of God. He spends his last year of his life in prison. Then how did he feel when they came in with an axe and cut his head off and brought the head to Herod's wife, who hated him so much? In prison, this dark, depressing place, he hears from his disciples about Christ. You know, the one you said is the Lamb of God? Here's what he's doing. And John felt some kind of doubt at this time. How could he do that? Same way you do. Same way you do. You see, John had the same sinful nature that you and I have. Same one. And so he says to his disciples, you go to the Christ and ask him, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And some have said, well, John was doing this for the disciples' sake because they were having doubts, and he was sending them to him so that would take care of their doubts. I don't buy that for a second. You'd have to read that into it and come up with that on your own, because you won't find that in the text. John was experiencing these doubts. And he says to his disciples, you go and say to him, art thou he that should come? Isn't that the message of the Old Testament? Somebody's coming. Now, everybody in Israel believed a Messiah would come. They were looking for a political deliverer, somebody to deliver them from Roman rule and make them the top dogs again. They didn't really understand this thing of this Messiah coming to save them from their sins. They didn't have any real understanding of that. They were looking for more of power, a political ruler coming in to change things. And they were looking for someone coming. And indeed, this is the message of the Old Testament. Somebody's coming. The Lord is going to send his Christ, his deliverer, his Messiah. Somebody is coming. In Psalm 40, he said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it's written of me to do thy will, O God. Somebody's coming. Listen to this scripture from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting, eternally. Are you him? Are you he that should come? Or look we for another? John, you've already been given irrefutable evidence. God has shown you these things. Why are you asking this question? You saw the dove descend upon him. You heard the Father's voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Why are you asking this? Now, I got to say one good thing about John's doubt. He went to the right place. If you feel like you're struggling with doubt on any level, do what John did. He went to the Lord. He couldn't get there physically, but he sent these two disciples. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now look in verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show God, John again. Isn't that what gospel preaching is? Go and show John again. John needs to hear again the gospel. Go and show John again. What a mercy. What a grace. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Now notice the order. You hear first. You won't see till you hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And if you don't hear, you're not going to see. Those things you, the Lord gives this order. Those things you hear and those things you see. Now this is very interesting. The things that they see is going to be what was already recorded in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, turn with me, hold your finger there in Matthew 11, and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35. I have no doubt that John the Baptist had read this passage of scripture. I'm sure he read Isaiah. He read all of the Old Testament. And there's other scriptures like this, but let me just show you this one. In Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. This is an Old Testament promise. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 4. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now these miracles took place. They watched these things happen. During that time, I don't know how all this worked, but during this time when these disciples of John the Baptist were looking on, they saw blind men receive their sight. Lord gave them sight. What kind of experience must that have been? People born blind, all of a sudden they see. They saw the lame walk. People who were crippled, who had never walked, all of a sudden they leap up and walk. They watch this. Lepers, hideous looking, were cleansed. Made clean. Deaf people heard for the first time. They were experiencing this, what the Old Testament said would take place. The dead are raised up. I reckon he raised somebody from the dead at that time. I know that he raised up that young man in the coffin when he touched the coffin, and that was very near this time. What about the little girl he raised from the dead? And we all know about Lazarus, who was dead and stinking 4 days. He raised him from the dead. The poor, people that don't have anything, they don't have anything. They're the ones who the gospel's preached to. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. First, here we have a description of every man in this room and outside of this room. This is a description of you by nature, me by nature. Blind, lame, a leper, deaf, dead, and poor. That's me. That is you as a result of Adam's fall. You were born into this world. I was born into this world dead in sins. And this is what dead in sins looks like. You're blind. You've never really seen who God is. You've never seen his character. You have all your thoughts, and all your thoughts are wrong. He's nothing like you think he is. He is as he says he is in his word, but you've never seen him. by nature. You're blind. And because of this blindness to his character, you're blind to yourself. You don't see your personal sinfulness. You hear about it, but you don't really see it. You don't really believe that you're the worst person to ever live. I mean, there's all kinds of people you're better than that. You've never really seen your own personal sinfulness. You've never seen that you're an unclean leper. Leprosy is the great type of sin in the scripture. And you've never seen that with regard to yourself. You've never really heard the gospel. Oh, you might have heard it audibly, but you never heard with hearing ears. You're dead, deaf. You can't hear. You don't hear it as good news. Probably it irritates you. You don't agree with it. You don't like it. You don't like what you're hearing. That's because you're deaf. Dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. No life before God. Dead. Poor. You don't have anything to bring to God but your sin. You don't have one thing to recommend you. Poor. And here's what demonstrates my deadness and your deadness and sinfulness. We're offended by Christ. He who is altogether glorious and lovely, we find to be offensive. What kind of person would be offended by the Lord Jesus Christ? An evil person. A person dead in sins. That is the description of you and I by nature. Blind, lame, a leper, deaf, dead, poor, and offended by the Christ. Now, I just gave an accurate description of you and of me, of everybody in this room and everybody outside of this room. That's us. Go tell John again. You need to hear this again. Now, how can somebody this bad be saved? It's a good question, isn't it? How can somebody this bad, this helpless, this desperate, how can they be saved? Let me quote a scripture to you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If that's not your favorite scripture, it ought to be. Amen? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm talking about sinners who couldn't save themselves. You know what dead in sins means? It means, let me give you two words that I think explain it. That means you and I are totally depraved and totally unable to do anything about it. By total depravity, it doesn't mean everybody's out as an axe murderer going and robbing banks and murdering people. It means every faculty you have is under the dominion of sin. Free will is a lie. That's all it is. Every faculty under the dominion of sin. And you're unable to do anything about it. The Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now, that's how somebody like me or you can be saved, because Christ came to save people like that. He came to save sinners. Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, he came. He came into this world. And he did what no other man has ever done. He never sinned. He kept God's law perfectly. That's what he did. He honored God in every breath of his life. Yet, he's nailed to a cross. This one who never sinned, is nailed to a cross. Why? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You have taken with wicked hands and have crucified and slain. Although he was delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, that didn't get us off the hook. We with wicked hands took him and slew him. Acts chapter 4, verse 27, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. That's everybody. We're gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. This is God's purpose taking place. He's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Here he comes in time to save his people from their sins. On the cross, listen to this. On the cross, he became blind. When God covered the earth with darkness, he couldn't see. When his feet were nailed to that cross, he became lame. He was fastened to that cross. Bearing the sins of his people, he became the unclean leper. Being deaf, he got no word from God. Silence. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Silence. No communication from God. He died. The God-man actually died. Somebody says, how can the God-man die? I don't know, but he did. He died as the sin-bearing substitute. The wages of sin is death. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He died, and how poor he became. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Poor. Oh, the poverty of Christ. He who once enjoyed being God and having everything that that entails now has nothing. Now, through what he did, him becoming blind and deaf and lame, and dead, through what he did, the blind received their sight. I see how God can accept me. I see that he made the way for God to be just and justify me. I see that. In the cross, in him being blind and lame and dead, I see all the character of God revealed. Every attribute of God is manifest in his death on Calvary's tree. His justice, his holiness, his love, his grace, his God is revealed. I see. And I tell you what, I see who I am. I didn't see before. I see who I am now. I am now the sinner. And I'm not saying that by way of compliment or in any other way than sin. I believe myself to be the most sinful man to ever live. And I didn't see that until I saw who he is and what he did. I see myself now. And I see God's salvation. The lame walk. Not only do the blind see, but the lame walk. When I could not, there was a time when I could not come to Christ. I do now. Out of my sorrow, bondage, and night, Jesus, I come to thee. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Lepers are cleansed. You know, I think this is so interesting in the law, and you can read about this in Leviticus chapter 13. The priest, one of the priest's job was to declare whether a leper had been cleansed or not. And if you came, read this yourself in Leviticus 13 this afternoon if you want. If you came to the priest and if you had any healthy flesh, back to the leper colony, you're not clean. You're rejected. Back. But if you came to the priest completely covered with leprosy, completely covered with sin, defiled like a devil, completely covered, you know what the priest declared you to be? Clean. Clean. You won't be clean until you're completely sinful. And when you're completely sinful, you'll be declared by the Christ clean. Just like that leper was. Remember, he was full of leprosy, the scripture says in Luke's account. Full of leprosy. Totally covered with leprosy. And he came and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord said, I will. Be thou clean. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. Now before this, before I was given ears to hear, I heard, but I didn't like what I was hearing. When I was given ears to hear, I love what I'm hearing. Christ is all. I'm given ears to hear and delight in that message. The dead are raised. Dead sinners are raised to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives them life. The poor. Poor people are people who don't have anything. Nothing. You don't have one thing to recommend you to God. Not one. If you're poor, you hear the gospel. The gospel preached to you. And look at this last statement in verse 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Not by me, but in me. Do you know that three times in the scripture Christ is called a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense? People stumble at him. People find him offensive. Men were offended by Christ. They were offended by his birth. He's a nobody. What's his pedigree? They were offended by his education. He didn't have any. This man doesn't even know letters. What's he doing teaching us? They were offended by his disciples, a bunch of fishermen. He didn't have any armies. He didn't have any wealth. He didn't have any of these things. Everybody turned thumbs down on him. We don't see anything in this man. There's no beauty in him that we should desire him. How men were offended by his claims. Thou, being a man, makest thyself God. I don't believe that. Who is this that forgiveth sins? Remember when they said that? When he said to that son, thy sins be forgiven thee, be of good cheer. They said, who is he that forgives sins? Why, by that he's saying as to whether or not I'm going to be forgiven, it's up to him. I'm offended by that. I don't want to hear that I'm utterly in his hands. He can forgive me or he can choose not to forgive me and let me go to hell. I don't like that. I'm offended by that. He said, I am the way, that excludes all other ways. I am the truth. Anything else is a lie. I am the life. My life is the only life that God will accept. Why, we're offended at that. But blessed is he. Blessed by God. You know, he's the only one who can really tell you who's blessed. I don't know how many times. I guess people mean well. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Are you now? I don't know if you are or not. I'll tell you what, you're blessed if you're not offended in him. Now, note the phrase, in him. What's in him? All the fullness of the Godhead in a body. That's in him. All of God's love. Nothing should separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The forgiveness of sins, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Acceptance, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All of God's salvation is in Jesus Christ. There is no salvation apart from him. All of God's favor is in Christ. Are you offended by that? No believer is. The only hope, they're not offended by that. They find that to be their only salvation. They say with Paul, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. That's the only place I want to be, in him. I find that offensive. You're crazy if you find that offensive. You're plumb mad if you find that offensive. That's the only hope anybody has. Oh, the salvation that's in him. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now you go tell John again. Go tell him again. He needs to hear this again. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your gospel. And Lord, we ask that by your Spirit, we might be told again the great things of your gospel, the accomplishments of your Son, the glory of his person, salvation in him. Lord, enable us to hear and see the great things you've done. Bless this word for your glory and for our good. We thank you for thy Son. In his name we pray.